gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour.
Almost. Mm-hmm. I'm having microphone issues.
Uh-oh. Oh, dear. We're having other issues.
What?
Ants.
Oh, ants?
There's been an invasion of ants. It's raining slightly here in Los Angeles.
And they don't like the rain.
No. This is like an infomercial 24/7, isn't it? What happened? Travis came in. What do I do about ants? I'm like, Cedarside.
That's right.
Please, type Stephanie in the box. And I handed him a product placement. I should have waited till the cameras were on.
But okay. We needed to get rid of the ants.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Bob Seska of the Daily Banter coming up on the big show. Very, very exciting.
Yep.
And guess where Carl Frisch is?
Where?
North Carolina with Clay Aiken.
What?
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com. So inviting to me. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning, little lady.
North Carolina's...
There's a good pander bear.
Yeah, North Carolina's not quite like that.
Yeah.
I've had so much barbecue, I can't even see straight.
Yum.
You are with... Clay Aiken is going to join us tomorrow on the show, who is running for Congress in North Carolina. And it's interesting, you had tweeted, before you judge Clay Aiken's candidacy for Congress in North Carolina, watch his amazing announcement. And I saw it, and I saw him on TV. Here's a little bit of it now. Clay Aiken, yesterday.
In general, is a nowadays sort of dysfunctional and an embarrassment. And people don't do that. They go up and they represent their own interests too often.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I thought he was, he seemed really incredibly eloquent and comfortable in this role.
Well, I mean, before anybody ever knew who he was a special education teacher. So,
mm-hmm.
Anybody who thinks that this is just some guy that went to Hollywood as an entertainer is going to be, pleasantly surprised. There's a lot more there. He went to Hollywood. It didn't change him. He'll go to Washington. It won't change him either. He's very bright.
He said this, too. I love this.
If I wanted to get publicity and to get people to like me, I think Congress is probably the last place that I would go.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, cockroaches are more popular than Congress.
That's right.
They could literally do anything else to get more notoriety and more popularity.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, I mean, that's the thing is, I tend to be the opposite. I don't suspect them because you can make a lot more money and a lot less hassle doing other stuff, right?
Yeah, this is when you've got the stature that Clay does, and the popularity that Clay does, there are things that one could do to make more money or become, get more popular and more loved by his fans. But that's not why he's doing this. He's doing this because of what he's always done, and he's always sought to help people that need help, whether it was when he started as a special education teacher to help kids with autism, when he was working with UNICEF after doing IDOL, in Somalia and Afghanistan to highlight the plight of children around the world, or this, where there's this crazy Republican congresswoman here who
what's her name?
Has Fort Bragg in her district
who
voted to shut down the government, which obviously had
right.
Tremendous impacts on the military here.
I'm sorry, Carl, what's her name?
I reported the sequestration. Renee Elmers.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
And she's already come out and
you might remember her. She made headlines across the country when she voted for the shutdown and then complained that she wanted her paycheck.
That's right.
That's right. Yep.
And she's already come out and attacked him in a slightly homophobic way, hasn't she? I think I read that yesterday.
Right.
Yeah.
They've accused him of having San Francisco values.
Mm-hmm.
That's so subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Since he has nothing to do with San Francisco other than being gay. That was very subtle.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's also attacked him for being on a reality show. But as Clay likes to say, the worst reality show on television is Congress. And it's like a Survivor without without ever being able to kick somebody off the island.
Listen, don't poke the Claymates with a sharp stick. I think we've learned that the hard way, Carl. What do you think the Claymate factor is going to be? There were legions, there are, aren't there legions of Claymates?
Oh, sure. I mean, all you have to do is go on the internet to see the response that, that Clay's had to his campaign. And not just from his devoted fans, but here in the district. I mean, the phone's been ringing off the hook at the campaign headquarters. You know, he's looking forward to meeting as many voters as possible.
We know one thing for sure, and that he will be a much, much better singer than John Ashcroft.
Let the eagle soar.
Oh, man. If you haven't heard the Singing Senators, I think people need to go online and just listen to some Google. It'll make you smile.
Yeah. I don't know about the future of quartets in Congress, because it'll be like, you know, you guys just shut up. Let me get this. I got this.
I think Clay might be good for putting together the first congressional show choir.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Carl, what do you think? You've been political strategizing, as they say, for many, many years. What do you think of his chances?
I think Clay knew getting into this race that it was going to be tough, but he's no stranger to hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think he's right here, that Congresswoman Elmers is not as popular as some might think. This is a new district for her. She's never run it. You know, she's only run it once before. There are a lot of people here that are unhappy with her, especially after the vote she's taken this year. So, you know, the only reason that Clay is running right now, in large part, is because of the votes she's taken this year. And she didn't just vote against keeping the government open or vote in favor of sequestration. She actually, at the time, said that she knew that they were going to be horrible for her district. So that takes a certain type of politician and those types of politicians that would do something like that. You need to be sent home.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, you had tweeted big news that Boehner met with the LGBT caucus, but bigger news is he won't let Enda have a vote.
Right. You know, I don't think anybody should be surprised that that Speaker Boehner is blocking the Employment Non-Discrimination Act from seeing the light of day in the House, but it was big news that he had met with the Equality Caucus in Congress. I can only imagine how uncomfortable that meeting was for all parties involved.
Yeah. It reminds one of George Bush and the Black Congressional Caucus.
Right.
by the by, you've heard how awful things are in Sochi, except that, of course, it is homosexual-free.
Right. Well, I mean, it's obvious that it's homosexual-free. Those hotels would be immaculately decorated
appointed. That's what happens
when we were allowed to live openly there.
And they would have a roof.
That's what happens when you piss off the decorators.
Right, exactly.
And the party planners.
My favorite thing is that they must have...
And the lesbian dog groomers.
That's right.
Senator Larry Gregg must be working there, because I've seen a few of the Olympic Village toilets that don't have stalls and are just adjoining.
He doesn't need to have a wide stance in those.
You can hold
hands. No, you have the largest stance he wants.
That's right.
You can hold hands like dudes like to when they're
what do you think
going
of
to
that?
The bathroom. Hey, by the way, did you see this? I don't know if you saw this story. Illinois Republican governor candidate took strapping male staffer on a world tour with him.
Huh.
You know, as a...
I'm sure he's a bodyguard.
Right.
Carry his bags?
Pardon me?
To carry his bags, I assume.
Right.
Sure.
No, that was several hypocritical gay scandals ago. The guy carrying his... No, the Chicago Sun-Times...
I get them so confused.
Chicago Sun-Times reports that Illinois Treasurer Dan Rutherford, that guy, an unmarried... He probably just hasn't found the right gal.
That's it.
Sure. Unmarried 58-year-old and Republican candidate for governor took an unprecedented number of international trips with his 28-year-old assistant, Joshua Lanning, who's quite strapping, I might add. Both men pictured above in Israel drew taxpayer-funded salaries during their overseas adventures. Now Rutherford is facing sexual harassment charges from a mystery and male staffer. Not sure if it is the same strapping male staffer pictured in the...
What a player.
Yeah, one of... One of his aides bragged to the Sun-Times that in order to save on travel expenses on domestic trips to New York and Washington, the treasurer's office often booked Rutherford and Lanning to a single hotel suite. When the men were sleeping in the same room, at least Illinois taxpayers were getting their money's worth. That's their point.
I see.
Sounds like Rutherford was getting his money's worth, too.
Yes. He remains opposed, you'll be surprised to know, to gay marriage for religious reasons.
Right.
He was the sole GOP...
And what religion would that be, exactly?
He was the sole GOP member of the Illinois State Senate, though, to vote in favor of recognizing civil unions in 2010. He has repeatedly denied persistent rumors that he is himself
I'm not gay. I've never been gay.
Right. As Putin would say, gomosexual. Exactly.
So let me be clear. I am not gay. I never have been gay.
Now, Carl.
On occasion, I've been a little Nelly.
I think it's fantastic that we have a good Republican gay sex scandal this early in the new year.
Yeah, exactly. It's early for this sort of thing. It's not usually the season.
Well, actually, I think because the groundhog saw its shadow.
Oh, six more weeks of
hypocritical
Republican, gay Republican sex scandals.
Right. If the groundhog emerges in Punxsutawney without his Jack Spade messenger bag.
Yes.
Then you know that there are going to be gay Republican sex scandals earlier in the year than typical.
Okay, got it. Thank you, Carl. Quickly before you go, I mentioned this yesterday, but. This is a big deal, the race to get to the Supreme Court to decide whether it is unconstitutional for states to ban same-sex marriage may run through Virginia, which I was saying yesterday I think would be so apropos, don't you?
Absolutely. Loving versus Virginia? Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. Virginia cases are moving quickly, and some lawyers hope they will emerge through the appeals process as the favored vehicles for the ultimate decision by the Supreme Court on marriage equality.
I think it would certainly cap off a compelling story to see Ted Olson and David Boies bring another case to the court through Virginia, where everybody knows miscegenation laws were struck down because of Loving versus Virginia.
The Norfolk case is the one.
A very compelling story.
Right, that's the one that they're getting involved in, right? Ted Olson and David Boies.
Right, out of Virginia, they're involved in the case there, and.
And Norfolk already sounds dirty in every way.
Very compelling case. Virginia, given the area, I mean, Maryland's got marriage equality. Washington, D.C.'s got marriage equality. Virginia has antiquated laws around sexual orientation. You're not allowed to get married, no civil unions, no domestic partners. You're not even allowed to enter into legal binding contracts with your loved
one.
Wow. Oy. I love this guy, the Virginia's new Attorney General, Mark Herring, who is a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's been called a communist, a red herring, I'm guessing. said 2 weeks ago that the state's ban, which voters approved in 2006, is unconstitutional, cannot be defended. He, of course, infuriated Republican lawmakers by joining two gay couples and asking Wright Allen for a decision that he wrote will be a landmark ruling in Virginia and one of the most important civil rights issues of our time, which is kind of echoed what Eric Holder said yesterday, right?
Yeah, and, you know, furthermore, this shows you why elections are important. You know, the previous attorney general was a guy by the name of Ken Cuccinelli.
Cooch!
And his views on marriage were positively Stone Age.
Well, he didn't want anyone to have any fun. He was, against sex of any kind.
You know, he was suing to block blowjobs. I mean, that should say something.
Oh, all right. That just winded me. All right. All right, Carl, look at the time. Love you. We'll talk to you next week.
Oh, dear.
All right, love
have
you.
A good one.
All right.
That's what they used to call the first German jets they encountered during
World War II.
Right.
We don't need to say it again. Okay.
Yeah.
That was particularly...
Okay, then.
That was a little Roger Rabbit-y in those eyes of yours.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. All right. 21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
She's been a real bad girl. We can make it better. Tell me, boy, now wouldn't that be sweet?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour.
You're trying to kill Jim.
Yeah, if you're keeping track of the... The tragedies in the new home studio this morning.
Yeah.
Number one was ants.
Yep.
Taken care of, Cedarside.
Yep.
Type Stephanie in the box. And then number two, the half and half had begun to turn.
Yeah. So I had to pop open the dryer.
Right. Well, that's the mini show refrigerator for the help down here.
Right.
You're not allowed to go up in the big kitchen where the real half and half is.
Have some pie.
No, I let Jim go use the real bathroom and get real half and half up there.
Aww.
Sorry, I'm not, listen, I'm not Jim Cleaver. I'm not checking the date of the half and half down here for the help.
I don't use the half and half, so I don't check it.
I don't either. Listen, it's not my job. All right. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Danny in Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Danny.
Hi. I was just laughing because you were talking about that Cuccinelli guy.
The Cucci.
And, you know, he wanted to ban oral sex mm-hmm. for everybody.
Yeah, right?
And his
every party's got its pooper.
His wife would be standing next to him, just smiling and waving, and I thought, how bad could she feel that she is so bad at giving BJs that he wants to have it outlawed for everybody?
And he obviously doesn't, you know.
And she was probably like, thank goodness, because I'm sick.
That would have been funny if that was the first she heard of it. Like, if there's them standing in a press conference waving, and she's like, wait a minute, what? You bastard. All right. Thank you.
That just made me laugh because I thought, oh, my God. Is there something between these two that's just so bad? It's like, you know what? Let's make a law so we don't have to do this anymore.
Danny, you are a scamp to speculate about the Cooch and Mrs. Cooch's private life. That is terrible. But you're right. One goes, it's either she that bad at it, or is he just, you know, lazy, Danny.
So much teeth.
Lazy, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I can't do that because it's against the law, so you better start before I get here or something.
He's probably just sticking up for the, you know, the lazy kind. A lot of guys are like, oh, thank God.
I can't help it if you can't get there because I can't do that.
Oh, my God. Guess you have got to get the prize today. You get a $50 gift card to Sherry's Berries. What do you think of that?
Thank you.
Oh, yay! All right, hang on. She's beside herself.
Travis, get her information.
You want a $50 gift card to Sherry's Berries just in time for Valentine's Day. Visit berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right-hand corner. Type in Stephanie. She was nearly giddy thinking about the Cooch's private life. Mr. and Mrs. Cooch. Yeah, she's right. You are. When he made the announcement, you're like, what all's going on up in that marriage? What's happening?
You know, going down has been a theme on today's show.
Excuse me?
He's talking about the Titanic.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
That's what I meant. It's April.
Right.
Why?
Can you be bad at it, Jim? I mean, really, isn't it more like pizza for guys?
Well.
It's good. It's really good. It's bad. It's still pretty good.
No. You can be.
Or maybe she's toothy.
Well, exactly.
This is Cooch. Maybe she's very, very toothy.
A little bit of teeth is good.
Like
sharp,
a piranha.
Sharp eye tooth.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. You know what? We need to, I need to pull up the reins on the show now. I need to pull the bus out of the ditch. Here we go. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Bite my red-hot, glowing ass.
You've been swimming near Fukushima?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Hello.
What? Yes.
What?
What?
Hi.
Huh? What?
Are you here
who
every
you?
Day?
Yeah.
What are you?
What?
Who am I? Where am I here?
Huh?
You went all Admiral Stockdale on our ass.
One. I'm always startled that you're back to my house every day.
You know.
Huh? What are you doing? What are y'all doing here? That'll happen in the later years.
Oh, I know.
I'll come down. I'll be like,
there are people in my basement.
Why are there men in my house?
We're the people under the stairs. Yeah.
Literally.
Here right. Yeah.
And I'm kind of laughing because Jim, I realize, is drinking out of a mug from one canceled TV show ago.
Yeah.
I should. You know what? I'll get them for the next break and I'll line them up. Because I actually found I have a coffee mug from my late night TV show in 1995.
I have a whole set of those. You gave me a whole set of them.
Oh, bring one of those. Okay. I have a whole, like, little Russian dolls. That one's from the last canceled one on Current.
I mostly keep coins in it,
this
though.
This one, I'm not even sure what it's from. Who can say? I'm not
no,
really
that's,
sure.
No, that's from the radio show, the current radio show that we're still on.
Is it canceled yet?
No, we're not.
Okay.
As far as we know.
Okay. And, and we have Free Speech TV things now. Not mugs yet, but we have.
Yeah.
Get on that, Free Speech TV. We have water bottles.
Yes, we do.
Right.
And I try, because they sent shirts too, and,
yes.
I tried mine on yesterday.
I sleep in mine.
I tried mine on yesterday to wear it to work. It was a little tight.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, You might want to stop lifting Buicks.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Pat in Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
She's, because, you know, there are rules. We have rules here at the new home studio.
Yes, we do.
What's the number one rule? Toilet lid up, because they are the dog's drinking bowls.
Ah.
I don't care about the up-down girl-guy thing. All I care about is you leave the lid open.
I thought the rule was don't poop in the sink.
That's a rule? Really?
Wait a minute. What?
No one told me.
I've been following that rule.
Jim, that must be you then.
No, that was a cat in the sink.
That was Jackie Schechner's cat. Yeah, Pat in Wisconsin says, Steph, I enjoyed your comment on toilet seat rules. As the owner of giant dogs for the last 20 years, currently two Newfoundlands. Oh, who's got Newfies? Okay. We have the same rule. While my wife complains about the dog drool on the seat, she regularly forgets to put it up. Oh, interesting how we figure out these survival tricks. I bet Chris puts his toilet paper rolls on so the toilet paper comes out underneath. That's so the cat can't amuse itself by spinning the roll and dumping all the paper on the floor.
Uh-huh. We have video of our cats doing it.
Yeah.
Really?
My cat only did
there
it once.
There are dog and cat rules. Max gives me the dirtiest look you've ever seen if the toilet seat is closed. He just goes, really? How would you like it if I cut off your water supply?
What am I supposed to do with this?
He looks at me like it's Sochi water. Like, really? Okay.
John Lennon used to wear a toilet seat around his head when they were playing in Hamburg. And why?
That's weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
Pat,
they were
by
high
the way.
On, you know, mescaline.
Pat, by the way, is listening and advertising on 92.1 The Mic in Madison. Yeah. Hey. Woo! God love you. God love you, advertisers. All right. Oh, looky, it's an unsolicited testimonial. What?
What was that?
To an Obamacare success story. Well, you won't see this anywhere else in the media, will you? This is from Doris. Stephanie, smart girl. Thanks, Doris.
Kling.
Yesterday,
don't encourage her.
Yesterday you pointed out the biggest advantage of the ACA. I worked for 40 years, unable to retire because of an inability to take my health care insurance outside the corporate world. The ACA made my health care portable. Yeah, remember when John McCain and the Heritage Foundation were talking about job lock and how horrible it is? People can't work. I retired last year, freeing a position that would employ at least two young people and provide them with great salary and benefits. I went directly onto the COBRA system. My monthly fee was $574 per month under the corporate plan. In October 2013, the Kentucky Health Exchanges showcased the exact same policy for the exact same price with the exact same insurance company.
Huh.
Better yet, I was able to compare and shop around. I'm a senior in great health. I was able to find a great policy for me for $323 a month. Hello. I can now inject those savings right back into the economy, pay for a gym membership, and stay healthy. Win-win for all, don't you think? Yes. How smart is that? I'm sure old Mitch will not win re-election here in Kentucky. Thousands of Kentuckians are getting coverage. McConnell can go back to the cave he crawled out of. And, I think it was actually
a turtle tunnel.
Right, it was a turtle tunnel, specifically, Doris.
Turtle tunnel.
And take his buddy Rand with him. Thank you, Doris. What a smart girl in Kentucky. Yeah, oh, God bless our friend Chris Van Holland, I mean, it's just, this is what happens when you have one party that is just actively rooting for things to go badly for Americans.
Yeah.
So they take anything. They're like a dog with a rawhide. On, you know, it's like, arr, 2 million jobs. Arr. It's like, wait a minute. Okay.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the Democrats were at a retreat coming up with their 2014 strategies.
Right.
And so they weren't available to step up to microphones.
Right.
But they probably should.
So
have
thank
been.
God we had microphones handy yesterday, and we talked about this. It's a lot of stories like Doris's, and that, you know, they're saying in the end is going to actually help, you know, employment. The CBO, so this is Chris Van Hollen was with the CBO director. Greg Sargent in the Washington Post, the headline, Obamacare will reduce unemployment. As noted here yesterday, Republicans went mad with glee at the new CBO report on deficits in the Affordable Care Act, with multiple GOP officials claiming it showed the law will kill over 2 million jobs. That was false.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Under questioning today from Chris Van Hollen, the CBO director confirmed that in reality his report suggests Obamacare will reduce unemployment. See how that's different than what they say?
Huh.
It's a little the opposite, if you're... Okay. The CBO report found that Obamacare, through subsidizing health insurance, would reduce the amount of hours workers choose to work, which is to the equivalent of 2.5 million full-time workers over 10 years. This was widely spun by Republicans as a loss of 2.5 million jobs. on page 124, for those of you at home paging through.
Okay, let me...
Oh, Jim, were you on the wrong page?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Okay, if there is actually someone watching right now that is paging through the CBO report, you are the biggest geek in the history of the world.
Yes.
But I love you. Okay, the report estimates the ACA will boost overall demand for goods and services over the next few years because the people who will benefit from the expansion of Medicaid and from access to the exchange subsidies are predominantly in lower-income households and thus are likely to spend a considerable fraction of their additional resources on goods and services. This, in turn, will boost demand for labor over the next few years. When you boost demand for labor in this kind of economy, you actually reduce the unemployment rate because those people who are looking for work can find more work, right? Van Hollen asked Emmendorf. Yes, that's right, said Emmendorf. He added that the factor Van Hollen identified was something the CBO thinks spurs employment and would reduce unemployment over the next few years. So anyway, there it is. The CBO report finds exactly the opposite of what some of the, shall we say, foes of the law said. What this really comes down to is Republicans mischaracterize the report's findings because they don't want to let go of their Obama is a job care is a job killer meme. Chris Van Hollen yesterday.
When the media immediately takes the Republican talking points and prints them, it does a great disservice to the public.
Thank you. Exactly. Yep. Jay Carney yesterday.
The president is comfortable that... much as Social Security did and continues to do, much as Medicare did and continues to do, a program which provides greater security, freedom, including freedom from fear, is a good thing for our economy and the American people.
Yes. You know what reminds me of, Jim, is remember that exchange when President Bush said to the woman, she said, I'm working three jobs. He's like, that's fantastic.
It's great. It's American way.
Uniquely American.
Uniquely American. Like,
no, a lot of these are people that have to have second jobs, whatever. I mean, this is not...
That's great. Hope you get five more jobs.
You know, this is the thing. In terms of, for a party that always claims family values, isn't it a good thing to be able to have people spend more time with their families
Absolutely.
As part of a balance in life?
Yep.
Call me crazy, but... yes.
I like the balance in Chinese sweatshops. I like that kind of balance.
Yeah, it's like Mitt Romney. Oh, this is marvelous what happens
marvelous.
In China.
It's so marvelous.
Can we do that here?
Look, they
Can't
have...
we lock people in and make them work, what, 24-7?
They
what?
Have trampolines, so
what?
When they try to commit suicide, they just bounce right off.
Oh, my gosh.
It's
oh,
marvelous.
It's, ooh, bouncy, bouncy. Who knew? Bumbles bounce. Okay.
He also said that what's going on in Sochi is marvelous.
Marvelous.
He said that yesterday on Fox
Oh, did
News.
He?
Yes.
In what way?
He said...
In a way that is homosexual-free?
No, he said,
in the dog-killing, gay-hating kind of way?
He said, oh, there are going to be bumps in a big enterprise like this, but everything so far has been marvelous.
Marvelous. It's marvelous not having a roof.
Bumps, no roof.
You should try it.
Orange water. Okay.
Wow. And they're spending more money on Sochi than any.
Yeah,
any.
I know. I saw that. I saw that.
Gee, does it think there's any graft and corruption in Russia?
Yeah, but you know, Kathleen Madigan was talking about the media saying they're going to make it okay because the ratings. They want to make it look like
NBC has made it look okay.
By the way, the Super Bowl, what did you see, was the most watched show in history
ever?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. NBC, who's running the Olympics, they're making it look like it's all, you know, candy and lollipops over there. But
right.
other channels,
listen, they spent money on graphics.
Yes, they did.
They can
but other channels, they're telling
they
the truth about it.
They can green screen out the stray dogs and the orange water.
Uh-huh.
It's
and the unfinished
water.
Sidewalks.
It's
right.
literally a Potemkin village. They're going to put, like,
yeah.
backdrops and things up
yeah.
there to
yeah.
make it look like the hotel
yeah.
has a roof.
Fox News has a bunch of fake backdrops. They could sell them, couldn't they?
Oh, absolutely.
What do you need it to look like? To support your political point of view. All right.
I want it to look like someplace where there are no homosexuals.
Right. Exactly.
Like West right. Hollywood.
This is what happens when you kick out the party planners.
Exactly. All right. 45 minutes. You'll be begging us for uplighting in a minute. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
We built this city with no help at all from the homosexuals. Or the Czechs.
Yeah, that's the problem. It is the... I'm boycotting Sochi.
Why?
Personally. Homophobic dog haters. 49 minutes after
Especially
the hour.
Gay dogs. They really hate them.
All right. Oh, but although Mitt Romney informs us yesterday that it's marvelous.
It's marvelous over there.
Oh, I think it's marvelous what's happening in Sochi.
Such a marvelous Potemkin village.
Crumbling. Infrastructure, no gays. I like it.
Oh, if only they had a car elevator.
Makes me want to sing. Makes me want to, yeah.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain.
Wow, that fits.
Wow, Rocky Mountain Mike, you are... By the way, you can pick up the Politically Incoherent, one of the greatest comedy CDs of all time.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
How can you get that?
I forgot. Going to politicallyincoherent.
We'll put a link up.
Yes, we will.
Stephanie Miller Show Facebook. All right. Yeah, I love they did an interview with Rocky Mountain Mike in an Oklahoma paper.
Yep.
And he kept talking about the show. Well, I was doing all this stuff with the show. But it was like two paragraphs where they said, what show are you talking about?
Oh,
is there any other one?
Stephanie Miller.
The show. The radio show. There's not just the radio show, like there's only one. I love you, Mike. There is only one. You're correct. By the by, Dave in Massachusetts, Steph, So Please Free Speech TV has begun filling in some of the breaks with segments from the previous day's show.
Yeah.
Yes. These highlights are wonderful. Oh, Natan, the highlights are wonderful. Good job. Our director's right there. We're a little squeezed for space here.
Well.
So our director's... Right there. I can poke him with a stick. Those listening.
No one puts Natan in the corner.
Well, I did. Yeah, I did. Those listening on your numerous other outlets are missing some of the funniest portion of yesterday's shows. After all, the more Stephanie, the better. Well, funny you should mention that. Guess what? We now have available, Chris.
We have a video podcast available beginning today.
At StephanieMiller.com.
Yep, you just go to the Stephcast section.
It's a commercial-free hour version. It's the highlights of the show, video highlights, in case you don't get Free Speech TV, or even if you do. Right?
Even if you do, it's portable. You can take it anywhere. Put it on your iPad. Put it on your iPhone. Put it on your
Android.
You're
not chained to your TV or your DVR.
Exactly.
Right?
You can watch us while you're on the treadmill at the gym.
We are portable, so much like your health insurance now. See what I did there?
You can get it even if you don't get it.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, Jim, that's good. Huh? That's like it's not TV, it's HBO.
Now,
wait, do it again.
You can get it even if you don't get it.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks, Jim.
And
the Stephanie Miller Show. I don't get
even
it. I don't get it. Okay.
And so all you have to do is just go to StephanieMiller.com.
Right.
Go to this.
We'll have a big fancy promo for it tomorrow.
Yeah. Go to the Stephcast drop-down menu and click on Video Podcast and follow the instructions and pays your money. And
you pays your money and you takes your chances.
You gets your product.
All right. I hope you're planning a sexy liberal in Boston this year. Still have a picture of us hugging during the meet and grope at the Wilbur Theater a couple years ago. Who doesn't have a picture of me groping them at this point, David?
The Wilbur Theater was kind of slutty that year.
I don't know about Boston, but I know that... What's today? There's going to be a huge sexy liberal announcement tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
For where the April show
tomorrow.
Is. But next Saturday is the very first 2014 show. And very, very exciting. Phoenix tickets going very quickly. March in Madison is already sold out. May in Albuquerque. Do it. Get it. We're still working on Jim Ward. He's like a hothouse orchid. You have to just soothe him and try to seduce him.
I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but...
Oh, I think Jim Ward is coming. All right, kids, this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online from anywhere. Start your free 30-day trial at GoToMeeting.com right now. Click on that Try It Free button, and please type in the promo code Stephanie, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I talking in that irritating voice?
I have no idea.
At least it's not the, hi. This is not that voice.
What you doing over there?
Which that was in some flu vapor. But I was saying,
that was
I think
before you almost died.
Right.
Maybe that was you going to see the bright white light.
Right.
That was it.
And all
yes.
you remember is how irritating I was.
Yeah.
Right before I went.
Yep.
Hey. Look at the light. I'm going into the light.
Right, and then that was it. And scene.
Get out.
No.
Get out.
I was talking about the states that don't have nice things, like the health care exchanges and Medicaid expansion.
Uh-huh.
Going, hey, Kentucky, what do you got over there? Like their fries. Can I have one of those? All right, opponents.
Curly fries.
The New York Times also with the headline, no, Obamacare isn't killing 2 million jobs. Yes, we keep talking about this. They seized on the CBO report saying it will kill 2 million jobs. No.
It says no.
No.
Maybe you'll stun them a little bit. But.
This is Irritating Voice Day. Everybody call in a different irritating voice.
Oh, please don't.
I really don't think you should do that. You never know what you're going to get.
This is just, I know it's always high school for Chris Christie. This is always eighth grade. We've just never gotten above eighth grade no. in this show.
Uh-huh.
All right. Oh, I do have gift that certificates too. For the best calls.
That's right.
Or the most irritating voice for Pro Flowers and for Sharon Asperis. No, Mary. Yes. Job killing, of course, the New York Times writes, implies layoffs, whereas the report found that many workers would choose to leave their positions because they no longer have to depend on their employers for health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what the CBO budget director said. The reason we don't use the term lost jobs is because there is a critical difference between people who would like to work and can't find a job or have a job that they lost for reasons beyond their control and people who choose not to work. If someone comes up to you and says, well, the boss says I'm being laid off because we don't have enough business to pay me, that person feels bad about that. We sympathize with them for having lost their job.
Right.
If someone says I decided to retire or stay home and spend more time with my family or spend more time doing my hobby, they don't feel bad about it. They feel good about it. And we don't sympathize. We say congratulations. And we don't say they've lost their job. We say they've chosen to leave their job. And that is a very key difference. There was I read a great story yesterday about a woman and her husband that started their own business, which they've been wanting to do for years, but they couldn't because they had pre-existing conditions. They couldn't afford to lose their jobs
right.
and their insurance. And now because of Obamacare.
Now they can get a job they like.
Right. Don't you wish someone could say congratulations to you, Chris? Why, congratulations, Chris. You've left your job getting up at...
At stupid o'clock?
Working for that... horrible shrew who throws staplers at your head for years.
Right. Those bruises and those stapler-shaped dents in my head are a pre-existing condition.
The day he quits, we'll be able to hear the rave in West Hollywood from here. Woof, woof, crystal meth, glow sticks.
Crystal meth?
I don't know. I don't
what
know
is what, wrong
I
with you?
I don't know
you?
What you do after you leave here, and I don't
I
care.
I don't do crystal meth.
Oh, of course not. Okay.
Oh, my God.
NyQuil, maybe.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't need any help getting to sleep. That's
Oh, good. All right. The CBO director yesterday.
By providing heavily subsidized health insurance to people with very low income and then withdrawing those subsidies as income rises, the act creates a disincentive for people to work.
Well, and that's the part that Republicans are focusing on. And look, you know, that's a point that's worth discussing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, I was just talking about the George W. Bush example. A lot of times these are, you know, second jobs or second mm-hmm. people
right.
are that are forced to work and not be able to spend any time with their family because they have to, you know, so it's not necessarily
it's uniquely American. You're welcome.
It's uniquely American to never, ever see your family, ever. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, Bob Seska of the Daily Banter joins us next hour from Hawaii. He has written a piece, Jim, the 13 weirdest things from the Guardian's forthcoming Snowden book. Jim, you'll enjoy mm-hmm. that. a great deal. Oh, did you see Richard Engel said he got hacked moments within getting into Russia?
I was watching
No expectation of privacy at all, he says, when you're in Russia. Huh. They hacked into his phone and his computer immediately. Oh, I hope Edward Snowden is enjoying that same level of privacy and human rights that they have over there. I wish we had that here. All right. Are you okay, Chris? Are you having some sort of event?
Well,
okay. All right.
The statue is creepy. I'm looking at it there now. Wow.
Which statue?
Statue on the Wellesley campus that's a lifelike rubber statue of a guy who's sleepwalking in his underwear, and it's freaking people out.
Because why?
Because, I don't know. It's art.
Oh. Oh.
Oh. Okay.
What's that? What's that, Snurdly?
See what you did there?
That's funny. Yeah. Okay. Disembodied voice. Rochelle in Phoenix, staff in the MOOCs, I saw this photo today of the beautiful, talented, and stylish Angelina Jolie. She is wearing a green pashmina.
Great.
Steph, clearly you've started a green pashmina trend with your infamous photo of you in the green pashmina with Cher. Yes, all over. I'm looking at the picture. She looks about 1,000 times better. That was the worst picture ever.
Well, it was wrinkly.
It was wrinkly. And I looked beyond gate down. Cher.
And Cher had a look on her face like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Really? Really? With the amount of gay man fans she has, and I'm dressed like that.
Yeah.
Standing next to him. We will all remember the wreck.
Legend is on from Chickamauga on down. Uncle Lynn Chick, they call, won't you goose me? Superior she feels if she's had a good meal, and her ideas come from I love the sea. With a fresh load of cash, she went out for a bash, fully loaded with her box of vino. And later that night, with Cher's arm on her right, came the wreck in the lime green pashmina.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. All right. Oh, and Rochelle says, P.S., love you all. Can't wait to see you at Sexy Liberal next weekend in Phoenix.
Sweet.
You must convince Jim Boyce D. Jim Ward to come.
Jim?
We're working on it.
When is that now?
Next Saturday, February 15th. Tickets going very fast.
Yep.
And tomorrow will be huge, huge,
huge
announcement as to where the April Sexy Liberal will be. Whole new show in 2014. The hilarious Carlos Alzraki joins the show along with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang, who joins us tomorrow.
That's right.
Jim Ward. It's a whole new extravaganza.
Carlos and I are in talks about doing dueling Woodies, perhaps.
Dueling Woody Allen.
A skit. They're working on a skit.
Yeah. As my mom calls it, little sketches and skits that you do on your old show. Carlos was particularly, because he'd had no sleep, right. Because he spawned.
Again.
And now he lives on Vagina Island.
Right. But he was particularly inappropriate and
that
funny
was
yesterday.
My favorite ride at Disneyland.
I think that the dueling Woody Allen's is a little too soon, a little inappropriate, and hilarious. Oh, speaking of which, you know, I always like to highlight people that maybe have a worse love life than I do.
Okay.
Just because it makes me feel better. It's all about me. Alleged burglar caught molesting mannequin on store surveillance.
Oh.
A Brazilian man was reportedly caught on camera having sex with a mannequin during an alleged burglary. You know what? Like, I got to steal wait a minute. Like, when does that happen? Their eyes lock.
I'm going to steal this mannequin's heart.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
When burglary turns into mannequin rape.
Right?
Yeah.
This is when did that idea just suddenly, like, hey, I got to get them weighed
up. Open cash register or there's a mannequin.
A man identified only as Bruno.
Of course, because he's Brazilian.
Are we sure this is not, what's his name that played Borat?
And Bruno. He played Bruno.
Right.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Right.
Yes.
I don't think so. The mannequin, a headless double amputee. Appears to cause a great deal of arousal in her unexpected midnight visitor. This is a lot of detail in this story I had not expected.
Wow. Did it really say unexpected midnight visitor?
Yes.
It's like a gentleman caller.
Yeah, that's poetic, actually.
Oh, hello. Oh, well, see, already I didn't realize they did not make eye contact, Jim, because she is headless. She's a headless mannequin.
And armless and legless.
This is like that weird movie with Sherilyn Fenn.
Oh,
Boxing
right.
Melina.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he was a Boxing Helena fan.
Well, it's a combination of that movie Mannequin with Kim Cattrall.
I'll get to that. That's at the end of the story.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, my God, with Andrew McCarthy. Did you see it? He's weird, right? Is that the one I'm thinking of? Yes.
Yeah, Mannequin.
Right. 1987.
And Kim Cattrall played the mannequin.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. He's a department store window dresser who was apparently straight. falls in love with a mannequin played by Kim Cattrall. You're right. That's awesome. Then she ultimately comes to life.
That's right.
That's like the Twilight Zone episode. Like,
yes.
The seventh floor, was it?
Join us.
Join us.
Maybe Netflix judges him too. Are you sure you want to watch Mannequin and Boxing Helena again?
Double feature.
Hey,
that's
right.
Right,
you freak. okay, the video shows the suspect leaning the mannequin up against a wall and laying multiple kisses. You know, it wouldn't seem like... That's kind of nice. Like, yeah. Foreplay, you wouldn't think that she would notice or anything.
Well, considering she doesn't have lips.
Right.
Until she turns into a real girl for a year.
Right.
Like in the Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah.
All right, now this is getting weird. Now a warning?
Nah, yeah.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination.
Now a warning?
Yeah, now this is going to get weird, everybody, if you just tuned in. laying multiple kisses upon her shimmering, opalescent, plasticized breasts, while gently stroking her torso.
Did Harlequin Romances write this news story?
Wow, and my pants are getting tight.
True to the tendencies of a typical adult human male, the foreplay lasts about 30 seconds before the mannequin is shoved aside as if she were just another merchandising display. While the man's subsequent actions are not entirely clear, as his back is towards the camera, he does appear to pleasure himself in front of his spurned plastic lover.
Okay.
Bruno has reportedly declined to discuss his extracurricular activities with the store mannequin. About that, I will not talk, he said. The love that... Isn't that gallant? It was truly the love that dare not speak its name.
That's right. The sort of Harlequin romance sentence structure, too.
Right. At least he's not a barroom braggart.
I will not talk.
He's not a department store braggart.
No. He doesn't go home and boast to the boys.
Yeah, there's something about that sentence structure. What is that about? About that, I will not...
Maybe that was translated from Portuguese, because it was in Brazil.
It's kind of sweet, whatever it is.
São Paulo.
I was going to say she could have gone, don't speak, but she was also armless. So she was also
headless. No, don't speak.
And mouthless.
Don't speak.
So she couldn't
speak.
Headless.
Silence.
Maybe she
silence.
Put a shoulder.
Don't speak.
That's the way he likes it.
Maybe she put a shoulder. Don't talk about this.
She couldn't even kick him in the nads.
All right.
Because she has no legs.
This is wrong. This
just
is
a torso.
This is the level of wrong it started at, and this is
now
the level of wrong we are now.
Yeah, completely wrong. Right. It's like those hotel commercials with the rabbits.
What?
The what?
Hmm?
No.
Oh, yes, like for the Cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
Yes. Just the right amount of wrong.
I take responsibility for this. I started discussing this with Kathleen Madigan about how the new Cialis commercials are even more disturbing than the original ones, because the guy looks especially rapey. You know what I mean? The guy that's sitting on the bench.
You're right.
Rapey and kind of no sense of spatial relations. Because normally they make it look really loving and fun and playful, but he's just sitting like right next to her, just like... Like looking at her, like a headless mannequin.
It's kicking in.
Exactly.
Quick, let's jump in the bathtubs. It's kicking in. Are you feeling it yet?
But my favorite one is the guy who's obviously gay. He's dancing with his wife, and he's like 10 feet away from her.
You don't need Cialis. You need what you need. Okay, Dirk in Riverside, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dirk.
Good morning. Thanks.
Good morning.
I work for government, and contrary to the popular Republican right-wing belief, we do not get health insurance after we retire. We have to pay for it. So I know at least five people that worked almost until their 80s because they couldn't afford health insurance.
Yeah.
And I know one guy who died at his desk,
right.
And because he didn't retire, all his wife got was $500 death benefit instead of half of his retirement. The Republicans are just...
I hear you.
Evil,
I agree.
Greedy bastards.
Yeah, we've already discussed that's what's going to happen here. And I literally, because I live here, I will die right here.
And we won't know until stuff starts falling off of you.
No.
And you turn into Norman Bates' mom.
Right. Weekend at Steffi's.
Oh, there went her arm.
Except she was in the
You'll end up looking like that torso. Mannequin.
And then Jim will, all right, never mind.
Oh, your right. Opalescent skin or whatever.
All right, 17 minutes. Oh, boy.
Or maybe that's just the OxyContin kicking in.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Back again. Check it, direct it, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. Stephanie Miller. In the house, jump, jump, rejoice. There's a party over here, a party over there. Wave your hands in the air, shake the dairy, yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, right there. Right there.
I was wondering where it was.
There it is. There it is. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, Bob Seska of the Daily Banter joins us next hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Tomorrow, sexy liberal John Fugelsang.
And Clay Aiken.
Clay Aiken, who is running for a newly minted congressional candidate North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot to tell. I'll tell him to go get some homemade vegetable soup from my mom in Charlotte. Although I don't know if she'll feed Democrats, but we'll see.
It's a little drive.
Maybe I'm the only exception. All right. So we were talking about the complete frenzy the Republicans had over thinking the CBO report was bad about Obamacare. Douglas Emmendorf, the CBO director yesterday.
If somebody comes to you and says, I've decided to retire, or I've decided to stay home and spend more time with my family, or I've decided to spend more time doing my hobby, they don't feel bad about it. They feel good about it. And we don't sympathize. We say congratulations.
Right. Can you imagine how your friends and family will congratulate you? Chris, should you ever become free of this whole, if I set you free?
Born free.
Go. Go, Elsa.
I've never seen the movie.
Go be free. These hours. Horrible abuse taken
Elsa
for
Lanchester
years.
Was well rid of Charles Lawton.
Born free. As free as the wind blows.
Okay.
That is such 70s.
It was
from the 60s.
The movie was the 60s, yeah.
Really?
All right. Yeah, I saw it in the 60s.
Just be lucky Julie in Seattle saved your job because she sent that to us because you didn't have it yesterday.
Well, she has Andy Williams' 20 greatest hits.
Wow.
Oh, be still my heart.
He has 20 greatest hits?
Oh, you know how usually my SiriusXM radio is stuck on Seriously Sinatra for years?
Yeah.
Now I found even older music I love, even more, the 40s on 4.
Oh, yeah.
The 40s music on channel.
I want Guy Williams' greatest hits. Smith, the canisters. Where's the robot?
All right.
You listen to 40s music?
Yes.
Oh, I love 40s music. Yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
I wonder if they have 20s on 2.
See, I'm going to lend Jim my reading glasses.
It's the bees and the cat's pajamas.
I'm going to lend Jim my reading glasses again so you can make fun of both of us. Remember that day? You were like, aw, old people being sweet to each other.
Old people sharing stuff.
Is that the Chattanooga choo-choo?
Yeah, take 29.
All right, represented the budget monster, Paul Ryan, yesterday.
Oh, all right.
Here he is, Representative Paul Ryan at the congressional hearings.
Getting the dignity of work, getting more opportunities, rising their income, joining the middle class. This means fewer people will do that. That's why I'm troubled by this.
I'm so troubled. I'm troubled. I got blue contact lenses, so I look more concerned for the poor. Don't you think like he's just trying to see? It's like this. It's that fake.
Yeah.
I'm so troubled.
I'm concerned.
Concern troll is very concerned.
Very concerned. Mm-hmm. Very concerned. Very troubling. Very troubling.
That's why I'm giving
only
everyone
one thing to do. Snip, snip, snip on the social safety net.
I'm giving everyone a voucher for $10.
Otherwise.
Whole dollars.
That kind of help becomes like a hammock, and then what happens? You
the
get complacent, right?
Hit your
fall
head.
Out of the hammock.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to save people, lazy people, from head injuries.
He wants to give them a Subway Sub Club card.
Yeah,
as a voucher, but it still needs 2 stamps.
All right, Marco.
Rubio.
Oh, here he is trying to be relevant again.
The pool of enrollees that is signing up is smaller, older, and unfortunately sicker.
than what they had priced for.
That's not true.
And soon they will be coming to Washington for their bailout to cover their losses as a result.
And soon they will be drinking water out of little tiny bottles while dashing across the screen.
Good luck with all this. Every headline I read, look at this one. GOP's new immigration spin. If we can't pass reform, it's Obamacare's fault.
What?
Are they just going to try to use this forever? Yeah, this was in Salon
if
recently.
If we had lost World War II, it would have been Obama's fault.
Right. Okay. Yes. What's happening, at least John Boehner's decided Republicans once again need to appear open to the idea of creating a more humane immigrant. That's the same thing as Paul Ryan appearing to be troubled by the poor. So troubled
by
troubled.
Like they ever cared.
By the Obama poor.
I'm so troubled by the feeling that we don't like the brown people.
Look what Obamacare has done to us.
Damn you, Obamacare. Now you've made us look racist and sexist and homophobic. By the way, haven't they already said, I don't know who it was that already said they've given up on doing anything on immigration? Of course not. Because they don't want to hand anything to the president that might
Boehner
seem like a victory.
We won't do anything on immigration. Screw immigration.
This was in National Review. Maybe immigration won't happen because Obamacare.
Right. Huh?
Right. Marco Rubio.
Rubio.
Thank you. Said he suggests that President Obama cannot be trusted to properly implement large-scale immigration reform, given the waivers and exemptions he's given out for
the
Obamacare. I'm sorry, Jim. Oh, you're doing your Marco Rubio drinking impression. Obamacare, a great excuse to avoid ever doing anything.
What?
Yeah, because, I mean, that's exactly what they're trying to do.
Yep.
Yeah, this one also, GOP's ongoing election strategy, Obamacare stinks. I just think they're going to overdo this thing. They really are. Blah, blah. Reince Priebus, Jim.
Reince Priebus.
He said the law stinks and it's a disaster. It's not. Hello, he whined. It's not possible for this not to be the number one issue in the 2014 elections. But anyway, so I think, like I say, Paul Krugman wrote a great piece. Hey, bad news for you. Obamacare is working and I've read another, Michael Hiltzik in the LA Times. Today, the Republican alternative. Crap. Crap on a crap stick.
That's good crap.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Say,
Stephanie Miller.
Pretending to have intercourse with you is giving me a great deal of satisfaction.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hack in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Hack.
Hey, Stephanie. One of the things that John McCain addressed in 2008, one of the things that Paul Ryan also addressed in 2009, was a phenomenon called job lock.
Thank you.
You're locked into your job because of your insurance. Well,
right.
The CBO report, nonpartisan, as the right wing likes to point out, when taken in context, addresses the problem of job lock. I mean, why do they hate
Hack, I read John McCain's quote yesterday on the show and the Heritage Foundation saying exact same thing about how exactly what the CBO reported, that this is a good thing, that this would be a good thing. But, there's just...
That was before you-know-who endorsed it.
Right. You-know-what guy of which color. I think you know what what did I say?
Of
Hawaii.
Yeah. I'll tell you how right-wing an idea this job lock thing is. I used to be an Amway representative. I had no idea how right-wingy Amway was. And, their big selling point is, watch that stinking job. You know, the whole job lock thing?
Mm-hmm.
about Amway's going to have to change their whole entire business model now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Hack. Thank you, honey. Okay. So, well, when do the Olympics start, by the by?
They start actually today, but the opening ceremonies are tomorrow.
Aha. Mm-hmm. Didn't some, I can't remember, Russian official subtly swipe at the president about, oh, some people are politicizing the games?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning some people are not coming along with the homophobia.
Yeah. Sadly, Billie Jean King can't be there.
I know. Her mom is ill. Yeah. That's too bad. Anyway, the other thing is U.S. officials say they have specific reasons to worry about security. Too bad, because otherwise it seems so delightful. About security in Sochi only 3 days before they're set to begin. Speaking at a House Intelligence Committee hearing, Matthew Wilson, director of the National Counterterrorism Center, highlighted concern over the games and whether Muslim fundamentalists in disputed regions of Russia or other groups could launch deadly attacks.
Can you say Chechnya?
Right. You know who we should be careful of?
Who?
Zubidat. Right? They're saying there could be the Russian security forces have cracked down on Dagestan. Among other places, well, you know, she's still a little crazed over her two sons, the Boston Marathon bombers, as you know. So, anyway, that was the Matthew. Oh, here he is. Matthew Olson, National Counterterrorism Center.
There are a number of specific threats of varying degrees of credibility that we're tracking.
Mark Adams is the International Olympic Committee guy.
Clearly, there are still some issues, and those need to be sorted out. But I can tell you, I can assure you that we are barely a moment goes by where we aren't pushing on this one.
Mm-hmm. Just saying, we're looking at you. We are watching you. Just when you thought we would have no call for this again.
Azubidot.
All right,
but
there
if
is...
they blew something up in Sochi, how could you tell?
Very, very good point.
Like, wow, this looks like crap. Oh, it looked like that ahead of time. Yeah. Okay, never mind. Where'd the roof go? Oh, there wasn't one. Okay.
The homosexuals stole the roof.
Right. They're just going to blame everything on the gays, aren't they?
Yes. You heard of lifting the roof off the joint? Well, they did that.
They lift the roof off the sucker, right?
Sure.
All right. There is. I know. What's that you say, Jim? Scandal and corruption in New Jersey now? What? Something new?
Get out. That never happens.
New Jerseyans accused Chris Christie of hoarding all the road salt. I know you think table salt, but.
Well, so that's why he's so puffy.
Yeah,
he's retaining.
He's getting water because of the road salt. At least not bath salt.
He's snorting road salt because of the stress. This out of Ceylon, and yet another winter storm barrages the Northeast. Municipalities running critically low on road salt. At the Jersey Tomato Press, I don't know if that's another Jersey, but who knew there was so many Jersey papers?
The Tomato Press?
Tomato?
The Jersey Tomato Press. They're trying to figure out why thousands of pounds of precious and much-needed road salt is sitting in East Rutherford at MetLife Stadium, where they just had the Super Bowl. Lilly points to a press conference held at MetLife Stadium this past December, during which officials under the authority of Chris Christie boasted of having 60,000 tons of road salt stored in preparation for the brutal winter. Meanwhile, an unnamed witness said there are 150 to 200 big trucks filled with the salt, our salt. He said, obviously upset. I asked for salt, and the guy told me they were too low, that it was there on those trucks headed to MetLife Stadium for the Super Bowl. See, because probably Chris Christie, right? Photo op, Super Bowl, everybody's watching. You wanted to look good. It's all a myth.
You know what? The salt is in low supply all across the Midwest.
Yeah, but it's
Northeast.
Happening in Jersey, and it's suspicious.
I don't know that I blame Chris Christie.
As I discussed yesterday... Haven't you ever watched The Sopranos? He wouldn't say, keep all the road salt so I look good during the Super Bowl. Screw everybody else. He would say something else in code. That's the wrong theme, but okay. See what I'm saying? They just said, time to take Big Pussy on a boat ride. That's what happens. There's a code. You don't ever hear someone go, I need you to kill this gentleman, please. Time to take Ariana a little car trip to see Christopher in the hospital.
It's time for the whole state to be on a low-sodium diet.
Right. He maybe said that. And that meant hog all the road salt at MetLife Stadium so I look good. Okay, they did some digging and found a news item. The New Jersey Road Department was indeed concentrating its salt supplies on the roads surrounding the stadium. Vernon Mayor Victor Murata said the huge amount of salt set aside for that purpose had prevented his township from getting the supply it needed to weather the most recent storm. Oh, somebody forgot to endorse. What's his name? Murata. Time for Mayor Murata. Go on a low-sodium diet. Okay. I'm just curious. Maybe other people have guesses as to what the code was for shut the George Washington Bridge because of that bastard in Fort Lee. What was the code for tell Mayor, what's her name, Dawn Zimmer, she can suck it for the, what do you call it, funds, it's the Sandy funds. There had to be a code.
Tell Mayor Zimmer she can suck it.
No, time to take Mayor Zimmer for a little car ride to see Christopher, if you know what I'm saying. Because they were Sopranos fans. Maybe they mixed, you know, storylines from the Sopranos.
I don't know any storylines from the Sopranos.
Okay. Time for Christopher to get lost in the woods and eat and survive on packets of ketchup. I watched probably the Sopranos too much. Jim, you know.
Was that a storyline?
Yes. He and the other guy. I don't know. Okay.
I hardly ever watched it.
All right. Other people probably did, and they have storylines from the Sopranos that I bet are part of the code that Chris Christie used for certain orders so that, you know, they couldn't go back to him. Did I order it? Did I know? No. But did I say, for instance? Okay.
Did I know beforehand or during or after? Who can say?
all right. Just listen, you know, I'm right about a lot of things. Okay. By the way, I love this this out of Salon. Far right, learning to love Christie, corruption, payback, and bluster equals GOP hero. Far right, it's the only way, apparently, they've decided to, they like him now. A new poll shows Chris Christie actually gaining support with one group of voters, people who love jerks. That subset of people not being served enough in the country. Here's some good news for New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. His support in national polls is way, way up among an important constituency, people who love holes. Obviously, not a lot of voters identify as people who love holes, but pollsters...
Pollsters?
Have a special technical term for this small but terribly influential Democratic. They call them core Republicans. Right. A new Wall Street Journal NBC News poll shows Governor Christie now viewed less favorably by all voters and even by Republican voters than he was just a few short months ago, dropping from 41% positive feelings in June to 22% positive feelings last month. Yikes. Mm. Mr. Christie's numbers actually improved, though, among the more strongly partisan core Republicans. Among core Republicans, only 32% had positive feelings about Mr. Christie in October when he was a, you know, black guy hugger.
Right.
In January, that number climbed to 42%. Huh. Hello, I understand you are people who likes polls. Might I ask your opinion on something? Hello, I'm a pollster. Trying to find out. Our good friend. Hello! Your neighbors tell me you are a well-known hole. Who do you like for president in 2016? My good friend Michael Tomasky in the Daily Beast writes Christie and the Seven Dwarfs. He says with a federal investigation hanging over him, he's not going to be able to lock money people down. That is very important. Mm-hmm. They're all being a little, a little skittish.
Yeah.
A little hinky. Super PACs and state chairs aren't going to touch him. He might have to resign or be impeached. There's an off chance he could be indicted. Oh, no. Tomasky says, the problem which I report to you with no sadness whatsoever is that as the Republican Party has become more southern and more right-wing, it just quit producing plausible presidential candidates. He basically was saying what a lot of people were. He sort of was their only hope, which is why they're being so, you know, spazzy.
Sure.
About what's happened to him.
Help me, Chris Christie. You're my only hope.
The angels may come down and declare him innocent, but it doesn't seem likely. And even if it does happen, he still won't be remotely the candidate he was 2 months ago. He's on the B list now.
Hmm.
Oh, Michael Tomasky. Maureen Dowd, who I like again.
Modo?
Right. But she wrote a piece, High School Maniacal, because I thought I was the only one that just thought this is the weirdest thing ever, how obsessed with high school he is,
mm-hmm.
and how apparently cool he was in high school, and not cool David Wildstein was. Morning Down says, high school never ends. Still, anyone who clings to high school the way the 51-year-old governor of New Jersey does makes me nervous. Yeah, no kidding. The Washington Post reported this week, Christie wasn't always so scornful of silly adolescent litigation. Somebody called and told us this story, because remember, that was one of the things he said about Wildstein.
Mm-hmm.
He said when Christie was a senior, he and his family considered suing to stop a transfer student from co-opting his role as catcher on the baseball team, even if it meant that the team, which went on to win the state championship, would have to forfeit the spring season. He thought better of it. So I guess he was a guy that thought about.
Sure.
Right. So you recall he said, you know, I was the class president and athlete. I don't know what David was doing during that period of time. This display makes you think that Christie must have liked lording it over peons even back then, an uncomfortable echo of his office contemptuously impressing its will on the mayor of Fort Lee. It's easy to imagine the deep gratification deferred by decades that Wildstein must have experienced turning on Christie. Yeah, that was years of being shoved into the lockers, I'm guessing. You can imagine if there was something you had the power to do to Roman Gomez at this point,
oh,
right?
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Apparently he's a fat tub of goo now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make you happy?
It kind of does.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm not.
The two kinds of people who never let go, as she's talking about in high school, are the injured and the injurers, people who got slammed down in the prom kings and queen bees who swanned at the top only in their teens. In a way, you could define adulthood as a passage into time when you realize high school no longer matters. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm entirely too old to remember anything from high school.
Except for when Carol Fisher pushed you into the bushes.
Oh, no, that was grade school.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, I guess I do. All right, 47 minutes after the hour. We roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Let me live that fantasy.
Elliot O'Connor, also known as Lord,
yes,
from the island of New Zealand.
Thank you, Tom. All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ooh, I have a $50 gift card for ProFlowers just in time for Valentine's Day for the best call the rest of the day. All right. And then Bob Seska of the Daily Banter next week. Oh, and we have some exciting breaking news.
What?
Bob Seska next week will move to Tuesday every week. And Jackie Schechner will be here every Thursday live in studio.
Yeah.
Now, number 3.
How about that?
For Jackie's Healthcare Corner. Bam.
Hoot, hoot, hoot.
I'll start showering.
Jim's going to start gussing up now.
Yeah, wear something.
I might
tight.
Wear some pants. Instead of dog hair covered sweats.
You wonder why that camera shot is the way it is, kids. There's a reason, Uncle Jim. All right. So, dear God, just it is like the mafia. Just when we get out, we get pulled back in to the Woody and Mia.
Oh, no, God.
No. Oh, dear. So now you saw this, right? The latest. Dylan Farrow's brother, Moses, has defended Woody Allen. Right. I don't. It is really hard to know what the it's every other thing you read, you go, so Dylan Farrow's brother Moses is speaking out to defend Allen and accuse their mother, Mia Farrow, of poisoning the children against their father. You know, you're right. At this point now, it's like you've lifted the rock up and you're just like, okay,
yeah,
I don't know which is true, and I don't know.
Whack job to me.
Well, they both
right,
kind
but
of
see,
do.
Now we're going to get all kinds of cards and letters from people that have been molested and people didn't believe them. And, you know, that's what I mean. You can't.
You know
we don't know.
The statute of limitations is over. There's nothing we can do about it now.
Right. But in particular, Jim, I know a lot of women that they just feel like, oh, you're reflexively defending Woody Allen, who's pretty creepy, I think, in his own right.
There's creepiness on both sides.
Yeah. And I got an email from somebody talking about the very thing I mentioned from the article from the Tribune, where people were implanting false memories of abuse.
Well, that happens, and then it also, people do molest, and people aren't believed, which is exactly why a lot of people are very emotional about this. But anyway, he said, my mother drummed it into me to hate my father for tearing apart the family and sexually molesting my sister, and I hated him for her for years. I see now this was a vengeful way to pay him back for falling in love with Sun Yi. Of course, Woody Allen, Woody did not molest my sister. He is now estranged from Pharaoh and many of his siblings and is close to Alan and Sun Yi. She loved him and looked forward to seeing him when he would visit. She never hid from him until our mother succeeded in creating the atmosphere of fear and hate towards him. The day in question, there were six or seven of us in the house. We were all in public rooms and no one, not my father or sister, was off in any private spaces. My mother was conveniently out shopping. I don't know if my sister really believes she was molested or she's trying to please her mother. Pleasing my mother was a very powerful motivation because to be on her wrong side was horrible. Mm-hmm. Dylan, of course, has responded. She insists that she is telling the truth. She said, this is such a betrayal to me and my whole family. My memories are the truth and they are mine and I will live with them for the rest of my life. My mother never coached me. She never planted false memories in my brain. My memories are mine. I remember them. She was distraught when I told her. When I came forward with my story, she was hoping against hope that I had made it up. In one of the most heartbreaking conversations I've ever had, she sat me down and asked me if I was telling the truth. She said that Dad said he didn't do anything, and I said he's lying. Moses goes on and on. Moses said, our mother has misled the public in believing it was a happy household of both biological and adopted children. From an early age, my mother demanded obedience, and I was often hit as a child. She went into unbridled rages. If we angered her, she was intimidating, at the very least, and often horrifying, leaving us not knowing what she would do. Oh, my God. Dylan says, I don't know where he gets this about getting beaten. We were sent to our rooms sometimes. I will not see my family dragged down like this. I can't stay silent when my family needs me, and I will not abandon them like Sun Yi and Moses. My brother is dead to me. My mother is so brave, so courageous, and taught me what it means to be strong and brave and tell the truth even in the face of these monstrous lies. So Mia Farrow has declined to respond to Moses' accusations. Yeah. She said, I love my daughter. I will always protect her. A lot of ugliness is going to be aimed at me, but this is not about me. It's about her truth. Moses, I find it interesting, is a family therapist.
Oh.
Wow.
And he said, I think my sister's missing a great deal in life by not reconnecting with her father, who had always adored her. Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
You're right. It was interesting at first, and then there was one too many potato bugs and worms under there, and I'm like, I don't, oh, no. This is really yikes, right?
Yeah.
Or as you would say, donde los yikes.
Donde los yikes.
Donde están los yikes.
Yeah, I like donde los yikes. Where are the yikes?
Where are the yikes?
Yes.
Yeah, we don't know what it means. It's something you say.
Nonsensical. We used to say it in high school. I don't know why.
It's like my friends Rob and Trish that I hike with all the time that I was telling you about. They speak dog, too. I've shown Jim now. There's an app where you can make your dog talk. And so they send me endless ones of my dogs. And there's just things that you can't explain why you say it. It's just that the thing that a dog, like Rob always says, what does it do? Oh, hashi vazu. Oh, what does it do? I don't know. It's just dog talk. Quiero. It's dog talk. It doesn't make any sense.
Hashi vazu. Hashi vazu. What?
It's dog. Listen, you don't speak dog. You don't understand.
I grew up with dogs.
Well, then you would know what hashi vazu and what does it do mean.
No, my dogs didn't talk stupid.
What does it do? All right, 58.
Sounds like...
58 minutes after the hour.
Right back. What does it do?
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I got us. We got us some, Valentine's Day next Friday.
That's
Chris.
Right.
I got a bunch of $50 gift certificates to Pro Flowers for the best phone call
today.
Right. We already gave away our Sherry's Berries one to the woman that was so chuckly about what Mr. and Mrs. Cuccinelli's sex life entails.
Yes.
Made her downright giddy.
Very funny.
StephanieMiller.com.
We're going to be giving those away for the next 5 days, though.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. All right. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website, will be a big, huge Sexy Liberal announcement tomorrow.
Huge.
Right? The Phoenix tickets almost gone for next Saturday.
Yep.
That we will all be at. And that is the very first show of 2014, a whole new show in 2014. So even if you've seen Next Sexy Liberal, you haven't seen it, right,
nope.
Jim?
We haven't seen it.
Jim Ward's going to be there. Carlos Alzraki. And Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang joins us tomorrow. Wow, looky here. A father's rights activist has been jailed for defacing the Queen's portrait.
Oh, yeah.
He's 6 months in jail for spraying purple paint. Oh, that cannot have amused anyone. Against a portrait of Queen Elizabeth in Westminster Abbey. Tim Harries told jurors he defaced the royal portrait with the word help. To highlight what he described as the social catastrophe of divorced fathers being denied access to their children. He was dressed in a Superman outfit.
Ah.
He's a member of Fathers for Justice, a group that has...
Justice in the American way.
Well,
no word
way.
If Woody Allen's part of that group. Oh, okay. All right. On behalf of fathers who claim they've been prevented by courts from seeing their children, I'm guessing the Queen was...
Not amused.
No?
Good heavens! Some roustabout ne'er-do-well has defaced our visage with purple paint. Simply not on. We do not look good in purple. All because of the alleged social catastrophe of divorced fathers being denied access to their children. Oh, cry us a river. We dream of avoiding access to our spawn. Charles Philip Arthur George, Prince of Wales, spelled with an A, mind you. Oh, mummy, might I borrow Buckingham Palace for a fortnight? Might I borrow the HMS Illustrious for a spin around the Mediterranean? No, you may not. You can flap your enormous ears and fly to the moon for all we care. We wish Mr. Social Catastrophe would spray Charles with purple paint. We surmise it would be an improvement, and we would be powerfully amused. Liz out!
Liz! Oh, she goes by Liz now.
Yes,
oh,
of course.
So casual.
Very informal. That's like the new Pope.
Pope Frank.
She's loosening it up a bit.
Yeah, I understand. Very
loosening
nice.
The corset.
Very nice. All right. So lots of love letters for Jim, however. Your hate letter is here. See, that's what I told you.
My hate letter?
No, his.
Oh, Jim's. Okay.
Because, all right, we just can't talk about it anymore. We can't. Oh. Woody Allen.
No.
Is this the, right. Well, I said
well,
I got
a letter in support of that what I was talking
right.
about.
Right. I see. I have a friend that was molested and went through his very emotional.
Sure.
People didn't believe her. And I also know somebody that was falsely accused of child molestation during a nasty custody
battle.
And divorce.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Charlene St. Paul says, Mama, please ask Jim not to use this one kid made up a sexual abuse story in defense of Woody Allen. Yes, we'll never know what happened, and frankly, I don't care, but this is the dumbest, most damaging defense someone can use. This type of making up sexual abuse story does not happen as much as actual sexual abuse, and all Jim does is minimize their stories. If he doesn't want to believe it for many, many reasons, great, but saying because one kid did it, Dylan Farrell probably made it up.
No. Do we have statistics we can trust that tells us that? We really don't.
It's horrible either way.
It absolutely is.
I was talking about an article from the Chicago Tribune about a psychiatrist who is actually implanting false memories.
Sure.
And I got an email from someone else who had knowledge of other people in that situation.
Right.
So it does happen.
And I told you there was many years ago, I was a family I was close to when the one kid came out like years later and told me, oh, the father abused me, and then, I was close to another member of the family, and she's like, that's crazy.
And then there's this whole McMartin thing. Where
it never happened, and I don't know what to believe. Like, what
Right. And I don't think, we don't know who to believe, we can't keep accurate statistics as to how often it actually happens or not.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't talk about it ever.
No, exactly. Much like Edward Snowden.
God.
Oh, Chris and Yankton. When I always read a hate letter for you, I read a hate letter for me. Chris and Yankton. Oh, he already tuned out, so it doesn't matter. Steph, geez, what's with your Edward Snowden obsession? Did he refuse to ask you to the prom or something? Yes. That is what happened, Chris. You're absolutely right. Edward Snowden did not ask me to the prom. I'm more in Charlie Pierce's camp that I'm not very entertained by glib, servile cheering for the surveillance state.
Yes.
Chris and Yankton. Oh, wow. Right. Ow, Chris.
There we go.
Well, I love Charlie and agree with him on most things, but when he says I don't care about Snowden, Jim, I disagree. I do care. I do care about someone that's stolen 1.7 million documents, less than 10% of which are about surveillance stuff and probably,
he could have been more selective.
Right. Undercover officers' names and all that stuff. I do care. that's damaged our national security is going to cost us billions of dollars as Americans.
But you can't
I do care.
Pretend that the NSA is damaging the country with their...
Well, I was telling the story. We'll talk to Bob Seska about it at the bottom of the hour. But Richard Engel said he's, you know, in Sochi for the Olympics, and he was hacked within 2 seconds
well,
of getting
right.
into
it.
And he said, you should have no expectation right. of privacy. They're listening to my father and yeah. my email. They're my computer already.
I saw the report on that, and it was a test that they set up. They had a brand new computer. They put fake contacts in it, and as soon as they went into a coffee shop and opened up the computer and signed on to the Wi-Fi,
boom, boom, boom,
yeah. they started being yeah. hacked from everywhere. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, exactly. So, well, you've been to Target, so you know the pain.
I've been to Target, and I do know the pain.
Hmm. Yeah, we didn't tell the.
The less said about that, the better.
All right,
thank
never mind.
You.
Okay, never mind. Thank you for my cash back.
You're welcome.
Okay. Chris, a little glitch.
Little glitch.
So I guess I can't buy socks or underwear anymore.
No.
Pay cash.
Yeah, pay cash.
Pay cash. Yeah. You know, everywhere, because even Neiman Marcus got hacked.
Right.
And now they're saying, you know, a bunch of other places got hacked yeah. as well. So.
Yeah. No, I will say, Jim and I think have had, you know, actually increasingly civil discussions, because I think you get some of my points and I get some of yours, and that's all. It's just I just think
it's not so
I, you understand how it galls people that
right.
he's in Russia, you
right.
know.
Oh, sure.
Talking about right. you know, yeah, they're
and
delightful.
He should have been more selective in what he released.
Yeah.
However, we can't really discount the whole NSA thing. I think it's extremely serious.
Yeah, I totally agree
I
with that.
I agree on that. I don't know if you saw this piece. I thought it was interesting just because I thought it was very... That's what I don't like. It's the extremists on either side. Who is it? Oh, my last hate letter. What did they call me? Oh, I'm a fascist war criminal who belongs in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Along with President Obama and Hillary Clinton somehow.
What?
Okay. Huh? And then there's hate letters about Jim that it's just, wait a minute. It's like, what? Like, there are gray areas in this discussion. You know, it's just, it's very... Anyway,
You yep. hate America.
What? Anyway, this was about why tech companies in the NSA diverge on Snowden. He's a professor of law and ethics. But anyway, he interviewed a lot of people mm-hmm. in this, you know, NSA and security bureaus. And then he also interviewed a lot of tech people who are obviously big Snowden fans. And it's just but it's an interesting piece. A couple of things he said. I spoke with numerous people in the intelligence community. Not one said Snowden was a whistleblower. That's not surprising. The level of anger was palpable. Part of the anger arises from the daily routine of working with classified materials. Merely carrying a cell phone into a secure facility by mistake amounts to a security violation. Thousands of security officers enforce the rules, and people can and do get fired when they're not scrupulous with classified materials. Intelligence officers see Snowden as a serial destroyer of classified secrets. He plotted for months to violate the law on a massive scale. He tipped off foreign adversaries about numerous programs that will require countless hours of work to revise. Many will not regain their previous effectiveness. Even though Snowden rejected all the existing options for a whistleblower, including congressional committees or avenues within the NSA, blah, blah, blah. Last fall, I asked the leader of a Silicon Valley company about the whistleblower versus traitor debate. He said that more than 90% of his employees would call Snowden a whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reaction is based on his view that this robust national debate about NSA programs would not be happening if Snowden
mm-hmm.
had not
true.
Leaked. And
that's true.
Right, and I think that's true, too. The gap between the anger at Snowden and the anger at the NSA shows the tension between the government and much of the tech world, but which side is correct? After wrestling with the issue, he writes, I think Snowden could have been a conscientious objector, but he has thus far failed the test. A central element of nonviolent dissent is to move society's conscience by taking personal responsibility. And that's what a lot of people have
mm-hmm.
said. Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, he's mentioning, went to jail for their belief Snowden ran away. Going to jail is, of course, a lot to ask of a person, but Snowden knowingly set himself above the law, claiming a higher morality. Full clemency without any jail time would create a bad precedent in holding others in the intelligence community accountable should they break security rules.
It didn't Ellsberg go to jail?
No, I don't think
no,
he did.
No, he didn't? Okay. All right.
Right, but he didn't run.
He didn't
yeah,
run. He
yeah.
stayed in America.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. yeah. Fundamentally, the traitor or whistleblower debate comes down to different views of what values should be paramount in governing the Internet we all use. The Internet is where surveillance happens to keep our nation safe. It's also where we engage in e-commerce and express ourselves in infinite ways. The goal is to create one communication structure that safeguards diverse important
so here's
values.
What bugs me about the whole NSA thing. They've decided that the American people are the enemy. And there's this false premise that we need all this surveillance to prevent another attack.
But
9/11 should not have been a surprise to anybody. I mean, they got warnings.
Right. Right.
Even, you know, the PNAC, the Patriot Newman Century, they're talking openly about having a new Pearl
right.
Harbor
well, and
to
what
justify
was startling,
putting
well,
in the Patriot Act.
Right. What was startling was the detail in that presidential briefing. You know, when that was the most startling thing when Condi Rice said no one could have imagined it.
Well, you didn't have to imagine it.
Really? Al-Qaeda right determined there. To strike in the U.S.?
What could that possibly
using
mean?
Methods like planes and maybe targets like the World Trade Center? Oh, yeah, I can see how that was kind of nebulous. And
you know, there was crazy an attack on the World Trade Center before that. And,
yeah. Gee, well, but anyway, now my point is that I don't think, I guess the point of this piece too, is I don't think most people in the NSA think Americans are the enemy and are actively working. I think they're most are good intentioned. Some are not, and obviously have been disciplined. But anyway, Ron in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ron.
Yeah. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I know your love of miniature horses.
Yes.
And I happen to be going through the paper here. Well, I'm not in Santa Barbara, actually up in Lompoc, which is Illinois. You've been up in this area.
Right.
But I wanted to let you know that the Quick Silver Ranch on Alamo Pintado Road is reducing their herd of miniature horses.
Not like in Sochi. You mean they're selling them, right?
Yeah, they better be.
I have been alerted to that there are many horses for sale.
No, I don't have a gun, but for that I would get one.
Oh, you bet.
Oh.
If they went to shooting their horses, I'd go after them.
I see.
All right, honey, thank you for that. Yes, I have been alerted to that.
Couldn't drag me away because
there are various mini horses for sale. I don't think I'm zoned for that, although they all are smaller than my horses, so maybe they would just blend.
Your doggies?
Your dogs.
Yeah. Right.
They're smaller than your dogs, not your horses.
My dogs.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Smaller than my horses.
Yeah.
Well,
don't they stand those caballos?
They are. The mini horses are smaller than my dogs, so maybe they would just blend as a herd.
Sure.
So if the authorities popped in, I'd be like.
I don't think you're going to get sneakers on Max and Fred. That's.
Like one of those poodle-shaped rats that they found on the docks in Brazil or whatever.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour.
Rats. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were rats that were so big they looked like dogs.
Wow.
Yep.
Rats the size of cats sucked on cats.
They're sneaky. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa! Awesome! Totally awesome! All right!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the do not order the ice cream in Sochi. We're just telling you.
Yeah.
25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. That's an actual menu?
Actual menu from Sochi.
Uh-huh.
You have a choice of ice cream or ice cream in the ass.
Awesome. Which is that was translated.
Short for assorted.
Yeah, there's right. Like a translation thing that probably meant assortment.
I see.
Yeah.
Jim was mentioning if you ordered a potato, you could make your own vodka.
Right. You like that.
Right.
Bigger in English.
Yes.
Sat on a potato.
Right.
Noon.
Right. That story.
They also offer lemonade in the ass, just so you know.
Good. Mm. Well, what's not fun about that? Okay. Daryl in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A lemona. You call it a lemona.
Hey, Daryl.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. For the record, I should probably, in the interest of full disclosure, I think Snowden is a traitor. I don't think he's a whistleblower. I don't think he applied for any whistleblower protections. I don't think he went through any of the process. So I think he had another agenda going on. I'll just say that. The second thing is, I just heard one of your co-hosts say that the U.S. government need not do mass data collection in order to stop terrorist attacks. And I just like to know how he knows that.
Well, I just said that they're acting as if 9/11 were a complete surprise, and there were lots of warnings. And this massive data mining for everyone living in this country, I think is, you know, there's too much chaff there.
Right. I mean, Daryl, I think what your point, though, is they obviously there were things they missed that, you know, had they had the program in place that they have now, they may have caught it, but it's hard to say.
Yeah.
This assumes that the next terrorist attack, the one that's being planned right now, is a 9/11 style attack or on that scale. And there are any number of things that terrorists might want to do in order to cause harm to this country that have nothing to do with flying airplanes into buildings. And when we say things like, and I hear this tossed around all the time by people who are not professionals in either data collection or in intelligence gathering. They say they make these claims about what the government doesn't have to do without knowing what kinds of threats there are out there. And unless right. you have seen...
But there's a constitution that they right. have to follow as well, you know, right. the Fourth Amendment and all.
Yeah, the right. constitution, yeah, well, yeah, yeah. But you know...
Right. What do you mean constitution? Yeah. It's our founding document.
What I'm saying is we walk around this country and we just enjoy our freedoms and how great it is to live in the United States. We have no, most of us have no idea the kind of infrastructure, the kind of human intelligence, signal intelligence that is being used every day by the government
to make sure. Right. And that's why, you know, and Jim, you've even, you know, conceded this, that some of this, that's why it's hard to talk about stuff that's classified, because you don't, when you say, like, what's been thwarted or what's the harm, or a lot of it, well, of course we're not going to know. I mean, that's, in fact, James Clapper, I admit, like, he obviously did not tell the truth to this House committee, but, you know. Again,
but you don't want to let people know that you know.
Right, but the president said he's talking about a classified program, and he, you know, I mean, he obviously, so I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. I heard somebody saying, oh, but he's exactly like Snowden. He should be prosecuted, and Snowden shouldn't. And I'm like,
But this is a whole massive data mining thing, and it feels like they consider the United States is the enemy.
I've heard people
the Constitution is the enemy.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say, like, if this NSA program had been in place, would we have caught 9/11? It seemed like more of the problem was the FBI, CIA, not,
you know,
right? I mean, it was that.
And I think if there might have been a metadata collection system, I'm okay with metadata collection. I am not okay with them recording and keeping our conversations.
More importantly, in regards to Chris Christie, Stephen writes, I am completely over high school, but someday the world will realize that I should have been cast as King Arthur in this high school production of Camelot in 1982. He just wants to get that out there. He's over it completely. All airing out our little high school grievances, especially Edward Snowden, who did not ask me to the prom. Talk to Bob Seska from the Daily Banner next.
I never said that
Stephanie Miller
banged her way to the middle, or that
Stephanie Miller
kidnapped a Swedish au pair to use as a hair farm.
Hair farm?
What?
Hey, you know, it could happen.
I'm getting older, things are thinning. That's why I wear the baseball hat.
Yeah, but Swedish people wouldn't match your hair. They'd be blonder than you.
I should have thought of that. All right.
There's,
I know
what's her name.
I should have kidnapped a Brazilian nanny.
You should have.
Okay, listen, we appreciate you even being here, what with the second cheese shortage in a row, being that you praise Jesus.
I praise Jesus every day.
Right. Is there no God? On the heels of the Velveeta
There's
shortage.
There's no Jesus.
There now is a string cheese recall.
Yep.
And possible shortage.
A shortage of string cheese.
Millions of packages. String cheese have been recalled from a plant in upstate New York. Oh, you're
where I'm from. There you go.
After
nothing good ever comes from upstate New York.
After complaints the cheese was discolored and spoiled too soon. Yes, causing enough to cause a devastating string cheese shortage all across the United States.
Right.
I am so sorry, Chris.
First Velveeta. Now this.
Kraft needs to get their together. What is going on?
Kraft can't let this happen to America.
You're ridiculous. All right. Bob Seska, managing editor of the Daily Banter, who joins us late in the show as usual because he's, you know, in Hawaii, as they call it.
Yes.
good morning, Bob. Mahalo.
Good morning, Stephanie. I'm so happy to be in Hawaii. I'm just glad I'm not in Sochi.
Yeah.
Oy vey.
Good Lord.
Wowee. Yeah, did you see Richard Engel was hacked within 2 seconds of entering Russia?
Yeah, everyone
apparently
was hacked.
They have no expectation. You should have no expectation of privacy in Russia.
Yeah, that's right. You get off the plane, instantly you're hacked. That's just the way it goes.
Are you hungry?
Get being hacked is like going to the duty free shop. You just get hacked.
Yeah.
Are you hungry? Welcome to Hack in the Box.
I guess Edward. Hi. Hi. I guess Edward Snowden was not aware of that when he went over there. I guess he was expecting, you know, better human rights and privacy
sure.
than we have here.
In Russia.
Right?
Yeah, no. I don't think he was expecting it. I'm wondering when someone's going to ask him to comment about this. I mean, he is kind of an expert.
Yeah. By the way, so your piece this week, the weirdest things from the Guardian's upcoming Snowden book?
Yes.
Wow, there are a lot of fun facts that you covered
in
here.
And this is only one chapter.
Really? It's called The Snowden Files, the inside story of the world's most wanted man. Wow. You said as a commenter on the Ars Technica website?
Ars Technica, yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. Edward Snowden, who used the online pseudonym The True Hoo-Ha.
Really? What?
Yeah.
Would sometimes accuse commenters who disagreed with him of being retards. Oh, nice.
Yes.
Wow, nice.
Sounds nice.
Nice.
Nice fella.
Wowee. Number two, let's see. Oh, Edward Snowden did not think very highly of Muslims, but he sure did love him some guns.
Yeah. Yeah, he loves guns, hates Muslims.
His negative impressions of multiracial Britain, he was shocked by the number of Muslims in East London. He said, I thought I'd gotten off the plane in the wrong country. It was terrifying. Wow. The joys of gun ownership. He has a what's that, a Walther P-22? It's my only gun, but I love it to death.
Wow.
Yikes. This we previously noted, he is a big Ron Paul fan, right?
Yes. And we kind of knew that going back to June. I think it came out that he had donated $500 to Ron Paul's 2012 campaign, but it was unclear whether he voted for Ron Paul in 2008. He only said he voted for a third party in 2008. But, you know, I wonder, you know, when he's complaining about being disappointed in Obama, I mean, if he supported Ron Paul and also liked John McCain, how is that even a thing for him?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So far, he's sounding more Tea Party than anything else.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, in fact, number four, Snowden thought Obama was coming for his guns.
Yeah, this is one of the weirdest things, that he was upset with the White House's attempts to ban assault weapons.
Wow.
I don't think they've ever done that. In fact, no. The White House has a terrible record on guns. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's nothing been done, at least up until last year, and you know, but certainly not in 2008 or 2009.
Yeah. Well, and as you point out, all we were trying to get was a background check. The White House didn't ban assault weapons anyway.
Right.
He was unimpressed by affirmative action. Oh dear. Ooh. He does not like the Muslims or the chicks.
You know, I'm unsure whether some of this is the, you know, the well-known cheeky British reporting, or if this is, or if there's some sort of quote where Snowden says, "I don't like affirmative action." I don't know which it is. I don't know if this is some sort of interpretation, but you know, I'm just going through and finding the things.
Yeah. What? This one was particularly interesting. Snowden's views on leakers of national security secrets. Where were these from?
This is from the Ars Technica website. This is in those discussion forums where the true hoo-ha was.
Wow, these are things he wrote.
Was clearly having issues with leakers. Yeah,
he wrote. Who was? I wonder what he was referring to. This was back. I assume some previous leaks, right? During Bush years, or we don't know.
Yeah, this is the big leak, the one about the warrantless wiretaps. I think this is the James Risen leak. I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, I think this is the big one about you know, that it was in the New York Times first, and that it had been embargoed for a period of time, and then Risen was going to publish it in his book, and then they rushed it to press to basically
shoot
their own reporter. And I think this is in reaction to that.
So he wrote, WTF, New York Times, are they trying to start a war? They're reporting classified. Moreover, who the are the anonymous sources telling them this? Those people should be shot in the balls.
Oh, right. Wow.
That what? Is classified for a reason, he wrote. It's not because, oh, we hope our citizens don't find out. It's because this won't work if Iran knows what we're doing. Oh, my goodness. He had some divergent thoughts from what we've heard from him.
Wait, I want to stop you right here, Stephanie. Can you hear that sound? Do you hear that sound in the way deep in the background?
Yes.
That it's Charlie Pierce yelling at his radio.
I know. I can hear him.
We'll talk to him on Tuesday about this.
This is starting to sound like a big prank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You said the other thing that comes from the new book, the government is in your everything, watching you personally. Snowden is quoted as saying, they are intent on making every conversation and every form of behavior in the world known to them. Oh, come on.
Yeah. Now, see, look, I mean, here we can debate whether or not, you know, the NSA having your metadata is good or bad or unconstitutional or illegal. But where this whole thing slides way, way off the rails is when we're talking about sensors in your pockets and the NSA being able to know all of your thoughts and watch you personally, everything you do and say. That's a whole other story. That's what Bill Maher was talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He was interviewing Glenn Greenwald the other night. Yeah.
Right. He basically said, oh, bitch, please. He's yeah. like, yeah. see, I want to, you know, some things I agree with him. And then he goes off and says some crazy.
But there have been reports of laptops being intercepted and malware being installed before it reaches
sure.
the.
That's
the
fine. I'm sure that's gone on even before we knew about Snowden.
Wow, this is the when Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras, their red eye from New York to Hong Kong, Greenwald described their behavior. As you said, you're glad you weren't sitting next to them. We would just cackle and giggle like school children. We were screaming and hugging and dancing with each other up and down. Their celebrations woke up some of their neighbors. They didn't care.
I'm sure that went over very, very well. You know, you have crying babies and then cackling Glenn Greenwald reading documents.
Hey, Faye. Yeah, and then you said this was from James Bamford's NSA book, Body of Secrets, from 14 years ago. But he said Snowden talked about the NSA has secretly attached intercepts to the undersea fiber optic cables that ring the world.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of my perspective on this whole thing is distorted a little bit. I mean, I've always come at this this issue from a place of let's make sure we have context about this. Let's make sure we have the story right. And this is one of those things where you know, a lot of this stuff we kind of knew about before. Now, again, that doesn't make it right or wrong or unconstitutional or not. It's, but what was missing from this and what gave it this hyper-speed level of outrage was that it was never presented with that context. So there's a, well, we kind of knew this already. We kind of understood that this and that was going on, and it was reported there and there and there. It was just like, whammo! We're all screwed and we're all being spied on. And that was kind of a major flaw in the reporting.
Right. Yeah, yeah. We talked about that earlier. Although, as you say, the one thing that was good is he gave us tips for how to avoid being overly surveilled, pillows and soy sauce.
What?
Yeah.
Snowden's own precautions were remarkable. He piled pillows up against the door to stop anyone eavesdropping from outside in the corridor. When putting passwords into his computers, he placed a big red hood over his head and laptop so the passwords couldn't be picked up by hidden cameras. On three occasions, he left his room. This is clever. He put a glass of water behind the door next to a bit of tissue paper. The paper had a soy sauce mark with a distinctive pattern. If anyone entered the room, the water would fall on the paper and it would change the pattern. Wow, that's how do you even think of that?
That's Inspector Clouseau-ish.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Well, ironically, Jesse Ventura is doing the same thing right now as he's in seclusion, hiding from the drones.
Yep. Yeah, off the grid in Mexico, I believe.
Oh, is that what
yeah.
he's doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Making little messages in soy sauce next to his door.
He's a pretty big guy, though. I think a drone's going to find him no matter where he
went. Yeah, you can't run. When you're, you
that
can't,
or the chemtrails.
You can run, but you can't hide when you're that size. Yeah, this is a part I think that I did not realize. You talked about the Guardian's U.S. editor only gave the U.S. government 4 hours to respond before publishing the first Greenwald Verizon story. You know, and you said you don't give the subject of a bombshell article about the leak of countless national security documents 4 hours to disavow a story, then publicly mock the subject when it fumbles its response. The point of informing a subject of what you're about to publish is to correct the record to get the story straight, not whether they deny it or not, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just another example of how, you know, journalism has kind of flown out the window, and it's not just on this story. I wrote a piece today for the Daily Banter where I, you know, kind of went off on all the reporters and publications that got the headline totally wrong on the CBO report about the Affordable Care Act. And there's this rush to be first. There's this haste with which we're publishing articles now without really settling in and making sure they're right. Because of the hyper-speed nature of the social media and the Internet,
everyone needs to get something out there as quickly as possible and get all the clicks and, you know, and really accuracy has been the victim.
Right,
of
bad news always gets that. Bob, we were talking about today in the context of the Obamacare. Look at all the headlines yesterday. Obamacare to kill 2.5 million jobs. And then, I was reading, thank God, for people like Michael Hiltzik at the LA Times, why the CBO report on Obamacare is good news. I mean, it's because, you know, again, but they want to run with the headline. It's almost like, and sometimes they're Republican talking points, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Doug Elmendorf came out yesterday and saying that, oh, yeah, it's actually going to reduce unemployment in Congress.
Well,
he said
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Go ahead.
It was just a disaster from start to finish.
Yeah, here was Chris Van Hollen yesterday, Representative Van Hollen. He was talking to the CBO chief.
When the media immediately takes the Republican talking points and prints them, it does a great disservice to the public.
Michael Hiltzik's right. The bottom lines of this report were the ACA is cheaper than expected. It will markedly increase the number of Americans with health insurance. The risk adjustment provisions, which congressional Republicans wanted to overturn as a bailout of the insurance industry, will actually turn a profit in the U.S. to the U.S. Treasury. Given all this, why are the first headlines on the CBO report depicting it as an Obamacare is a job killer? And you're right. It's exactly that kind of journalism that you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was just a mess. I mean, I think what we see a lot of now, especially in the political press, is a need to interpret what the Republicans are saying, rather than determining whether or not they're right or wrong, and most of the time they're wrong. And that's really, really dangerous. I mean, we see that a lot from Chuck Todd. I think Chris Saliza was doing that in his column this week in reaction to that CBO report. It's just like, oh, yeah, here's what the Republicans are going to say. And it's not the Republicans are wrong about this. This is what they're going to say, and how is it going to affect the polls, and what are the Democrats going to do in reaction to when the Republicans completely lie about this CBO report? And it's infuriating.
Right, and this is, you know, your point about this particular NSA story they got in the paper, and you actually said part of this, too. Greenwald, while in Hong Kong, threatened to stomp off and take the story elsewhere if the Guardian didn't hurry up and publish it. It partly explains the four-hour window for the government's response. Greenwald signals he was ready and willing to self-publish or take the scoop elsewhere if Guardian hesitated. So you're right. That's part of what's driving this kind of journalism, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, in this case, too, also in that, I didn't include it as one of the things, but in this chapter of this new book coming out about the Snowden operation, Greenwald admits to being technically illiterate. Those are his words. He, up to the point of meeting Snowden, he was technically illiterate. So here he is rushing to write a very technically complicated article about the NSA working with Verizon to gather up all of this metadata on a regular basis. And he barely knows, you know, anything about how computers work, evidently. And so this is the guy, this is the go-to guy on this story. I mean, this is stuff like this concerns me. The fact that all these reporters are going to Sochi and they're suddenly alarmed by the fact that they're being hacked and surveilled. I don't get it. I don't get how they're allowed to report on this stuff without having any
context,
knowledge, or background in dealing with it.
Yeah.
This is Tom Roca reporting. Greenwald is technically illiterate.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. By the way, in this last piece, I just before you go real quick, I had to say, I love, you said as soon as the book alleges, as soon as the article went live, the Guardian editors were followed by weird sidewalk diggers. Every member of the Snowden team was able to recount similar unusual moments. Taxi drivers who didn't know the way or the fare. I've never been in a taxi that knows the way or what the fare is.
Yeah.
Really?
That was a regular thing. I don't think any taxi drivers know where the hell they're going.
Yeah. I made the mistake once of you getting in a New York cab expecting to know how to find something in Brooklyn. It's like it's another planet or something.
Yeah.
If you're based in Manhattan.
I'm always like, isn't that your job to know how to get places? Okay. All right. Well, Bob, great stuff as always. I ran long with you, as I do.
But we're going to be talking to Bob on Tuesday now.
Right. Tuesday's your regular, you're my regular Tuesday guy now.
Well, we could
Tuesday,
have
I'll be able to react immediately to Charlie.
Yes.
Fight.
In real time.
I love Charlie. I love Charlie.
Me too.
We're going to get drinks, and we've invited all of you, too. We're going to get into a barroom brawl.
Yeah, let's do it. It will be like point counterpoint on Tuesdays now. Yeah, I heard Ed Schultz say, I don't know who Charlie Pierce is. I'm like, what? What? All right. Bob Seska, love you, honey. See you Tuesday.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See me next Tuesday.
See you
next Tuesday.
That's what Jim's thinking when we have these arguments.
Yeah, you can say that to Bob every Tuesday
right,
now.
Right. And then Charlie Pierce can say it to me.
That's right.
Okay. 50 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
We have a weather report from Fred. He's
wet.
Told me it's raining.
His fur is wet.
Because his fur is wet.
Which is good. We need it here. We need rain.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if anyone missed it, but Jim had the line of the morning from Sochi. Welcome to Hack in the Box. Can we take your order? Oh, we already know it, because we've been surveilling you. How about this? Russia says its Sochi bathroom spy cameras show no plumbing problems.
Oh, good.
What?
Remind
See,
me never
Edward
go to Russia.
Snowden, at least you could have taken a in peace if you just stayed here. Right? Wow.
Maybe he puts a red hood over his whole body when he's on the can.
You can't see what I'm doing. You don't even know what position I'm in, whether it's one or two. The Wall Street Journal reports Russia is aggressively defending itself against complaints that the much-maligned bathrooms in the Olympic accommodations are in any way substandard. We are watching you.
You use too much toilet paper. Put it back.
By the way, I guess I should confess that I've done that now, so that you guys don't take out a second roll before you're done with the first one, and also that you leave the seat up so the dogs can drink out of it, like we've discussed. Just saying, I put a camera in there.
Oh,
forgot
great.
To tell you.
Okay, it's like working in Russia.
Exactly, watching you. Outside of the circle of bathroom trust, all of you.
Great.
The Russians, in fact, I'm keeping a very, very close eye on the bathroom situation. Dmitry Kirdyuk, the deputy prime minister responsible for Olympic preparations. Oh, well, and what a heck of a job, by the way. Heck of a job, Brownie.
Wow.
Reflected the view held among many Russian officials that some Western visitors are deliberately trying to sabotage Sochi's big debut out of bias against Russia.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Sure. It's because we got so many gays here. We're trying to make it seem like you don't have roofs on your hotels and your water is dangerous. Okay. We have surveillance video from the hotels that shows people turn on the shower, direct the nozzle at the wall, and then leave the room for the whole day. Oh, busted. Busted, Richard Engel. Wow.
Oh, God.
Oh, yikes. There, you get that freedom from surveillance over
there. So if the dangerous face water don't get you, the spy cams
yikes.
Will.
Yikes.
Okay.
Carolyn in Sacramento, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Carolyn.
Hello. I just wanted to tell you that I'm a big fan of the television show Person of Interest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Which is the premise is that this computer genius builds this machine for the government that sees and knows everything. And then he leaves, and the government is only interested in terrorists, but he is interested in helping regular people. So anyway, that's the premise. And Jim Caviezel is in there, and he helps them, you know, with the operations of saving people and so on.
Oh.
And so when Edward Snowden came out with, well, the government is doing this now.
All right, you're going to have to call with the rest of that tomorrow. Yeah. We will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.